Please bow with me in prayer. O Lord our God, we are grateful for the gift of your word. Help us to hear the message that you have prepared for us this morning, and open our hearts, our ears, our minds, and our eyes to see the path that you have laid out for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is one that I'm sure you're all familiar with. We just heard some of it from the children's message, but it's from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Please listen for the word of God. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, saying, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, saying, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except those who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And then the verse that we all know so well, 16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The title of the meditation this morning was Slippery Slopes. If we start with Psalm 121, there's a lot of messages in there that you just heard in the anthem. If you're writing a novel or any kind of a paper, a thesis or anything, you know that the setting or a sense of place is not something that can be left out. It's critical to the story that you're trying to tell. Where does that story take place? Novelists say if you include that information, you help the readers to feel and sense like they are actually there when they're reading the story. And Psalm 121 tells us that ancient Israel's story can't be told without the references to mountains. Ancient Israel's homeland was a hilly and mountainous place, a riot of hills in some places. And when the psalmist said, "I lift up my eyes to the hills," he's seeing what every resident sees. In the Psalms as a whole, hills and mountains are a frequent metaphor used to convey the characteristics of God. One example is Psalm 36, which says of God, "Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains." In Psalm 121, the psalmist begins by saying he's looking at those hills, and he immediately follows up by saying, "From where will my help come?" And then he answers his own question and says his help is from the Lord. For us today, even if the sight of the hills and the mountains inspire us, there are still a lot of slippery slopes in our lives. The term is sort of a shorthand for an idea that any one of our actions could trigger a downward slide, either in our lives, our faith, our behaviors, our actions, or our words. Slippery slopes are something that we've all experienced sometime when we made a decision that wasn't correct, wasn't perhaps the one that was guided by God, but that came from our own thoughts. You know, if the people talk about speed limits all the time, if the speed limit on the parkway is increased from 65 to 75, people will still drive 85. There'll be that much of an increase in accidents because we make those decisions based on how far outside of this picture can I go? And that's what we do throughout our lives. If I smoke, my kids will see it and they might decide that they want to smoke. If I let my temper get out of hand, I may end up hurting the people that I love. Some of our slippery slopes are worries about matters that we care about because of our religious faith, such as if I question what's in the Bible, will I end up questioning everything? And if so, where will I end up? If I don't do enough good deeds, will I actually go to heaven? The psalmist there talks about God as one who stays awake all the time. He never stops watching over us. He talks about God as our keeper, the Hebrew word for which is shamar, which means watching over, tending, and caring for. In the Old Testament, shamar is only used to describe the activities of God, not of any humans. But God is with us always, going in and out of our homes, in every decision that we make, through every valley that we walk, every hardship, every celebration, God is right there. From this time on and forevermore. So imagine some of the things that might have even been said to Jesus during his ministry. You can't forgive a cripple's sins. Where will that lead? You can't heal on the Sabbath. What will people think? You can't heal a Gentile. That's not your job. But in our gospel reading, Jesus' words to Nicodemus are the most unique requirement of what it is that we need to do in those times of struggle or decision making. He talks to Nicodemus about our being born again, born anew, born from above. And sometimes we only use one of those terms when we're talking about this gospel, but if you listened to those words specifically, you would hear that we really need to say both things, born anew, from above. Just as the kingdom is often referred to as both now and yet to come, those two things need to be connected all the time. As fallible human beings, the slippery slopes we face can steer us away from the pathway to heaven. They can distract us from looking towards those hills and mountains from whence comes our help. But as children of God who have been born anew and from above, we live with these promises. God will not let your foot be moved. God will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep your life. And the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this day forward. Jesus is very clear as he makes this all known to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was both a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, and he's mentioned three times in the Gospels. His first visit to Jesus on this reading to discuss the teachings. And then he reminds his colleagues when Jesus is arrested that the law requires that a person be heard before they're judged. And lastly, he appears following the crucifixion of Jesus to provide the customary embalming spices and to assist Joseph of Arimathea with the burial. And Jesus is aware of the misunderstanding that Nicodemus has, and he's using him as an example of what it is that we need to look out for, what it is that we need to hear in the messages from God. In other words, anything we do to enter God's kingdom is going to be a transformation for us from what is of the flesh to what is of the spirit. It requires a reliance on God and all the promises we just heard, rather than making these decisions throughout our lives based only on our own information and our own thoughts and concerns. We always need to turn to God, because you remember that our Lenten theme is more like you. So everything that we do should be more like the nature of God rather than our own nature. What would God do in this situation? Many of you remember when we all used to have those bracelets that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? We should think that again as we go through this. Whenever we're faced with challenges or scary problems, we have to look to God for guidance. We just heard all the promises. God is right there. He'll give us the guidance that we need and the help that we need if we just turn to God and ask for that help. We claim to be children of God, and we are children of God, so we really must have God's nature within us. We have to be more like God. If we remember who we are and we decide to behave as people expressing their true nature, the nature of God, then what we're going to do is be obvious in our reliance on God and set a great example for everyone else. God's nature will continually encourage us to remember that we are the children of God and we are doing God's work. Imagine what would have happened if Nicodemus had not taken the word of God and heard that guidance from Jesus and just decided to go about on his own doing the things he continued to do before. There's a huge difference between being born of the spirit and born of the flesh, and that's something that we really need to remember. Jesus was focusing on the necessity of the actions that lead us to God and to the kingdom of God, because anyone that hears the messages of a church can still be hesitant to take that step. We do have our own fears and our own concerns. And to some people, it serves as a warning that God will do whatever it is that God wants to do, what God needs to do. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, God's methods can't be questioned. And in what Martin Luther called the gospel in miniature, John 3:16, stipulates exactly how God chose to bridge that chasm between the kingdom of God and people born of the flesh. Anything that was giving us a great distance between those two things was minimized and for some eliminated by the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. If Nicodemus had chosen to stick with the slippery slopes and his own decisions, he wouldn't have had this conversation with Jesus. He wouldn't have warned the Sanhedrins about listening to Jesus before they judged him, and he wouldn't have been present after the crucifixion with the embalming spices that were needed to help with Jesus' burial. And as children of God, believers, we need to be focused on that nature of God and not on all the hurdles and speed bumps that are in our way throughout our lives. We need to discern God's will and to make decisions that it will always, hopefully, lessen the troublesome times in our lives and the slippery slopes and give us the path that God has laid out for us. And ultimately, it will show that we are children of God, and hopefully others that we meet and engage with will see that and want to be more like us as we are more like God. Look at the tremendous sacrifice that God made to save the world, his own son. So in order to be more like God and more like Christ, what are you willing to sacrifice to save yourself, to save others, and to save the world? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.